Host, Bran Flakes presents... Believe It or Not! Again, Post 40% Bran Flakes bring you Bob Ripley with more of his amazing Believe It or Not, with V.A. Rolfe and his orchestra and lovely Linda Lee. Yes, sir, life is swell when you keep well. And how mighty true that is. Isn't it great to turn out of bed in the morning feeling top, raring to plunge into the day's work, whatever it is? Yes, indeed, every second of the day is crammed with interest and fun when you're feeling swell. And folks, you all know the benefits of Bran. Well, every day, millions of folks get these benefits in a really delicious cereal. A Bran cereal they enjoy eating. Post Bran Flakes. And say, what flavor you get in crunchy golden brown Post Bran Flakes? A tempting different flavor the whole family will go for. Why not start tomorrow? Let every member of the family enjoy delicious Post Bran Flakes at breakfast regularly every morning for their wonderful flavor and their extra benefits. Believe me, you'll agree yourself that life is swell when you keep well. And here's that eloquent elucidator of elegant, elating, elizating, electrifying Elysian elements. Believe it or not, Bob Ripley.
Greetings, everybody. Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the program tonight. On my last trip to China, I learned to my amazement that a Chinese law forbids anyone to play one of the most beautiful songs ever written, the Barcarolle from the Tales of Hoffman. But in all China, I could find no one to give me the explanation. This made me more determined than ever to find the answer. And finally, my travels took me to Vienna, where I was fortunate enough to uncover the complete story of the Barcarolle from the beginning. My Believe It or Not guest tonight will describe the grim story lurking behind the creation of the beautiful Barcarolle from the Tales of Hoffman. So let me take you back to that city, once known as the City of Song, Vienna. The time is 1876. At his hotel, the great composer Jacques Offenbach is speaking to his best friend, Dr. Tile.
My dear Jacques, why are you leaving for England before you finish the Tales of Hoffman?
Herr Doctor, I cannot finish my opera. I cannot because of one song.
One song?
Yes, it has haunted me all my life.
I do not understand.
It is a lullaby my mother used to sing to me when I was a baby. I know only the beginning of this lullaby. I have never been able to get the rest of it. But I must get it. I must. It is driving me mad.
Do you know who wrote it?
Yes, I know who wrote it. A man by the name of Rudolf Zimmer.
Zimmer? I never heard of him.
I must find him. I must find him so I can put an end to this torture. I've heard that he may be in London. That is why I am leaving for England tomorrow. Pardon me, sir. I understand that Zimmer lives here. Rudolf Zimmer.
Rudolf Zimmer? Well, he did, sir, some years ago, but I believe he's in France now.
France? Oh, I must find him. I shall go there.
You wish to order something, monsieur?
No, I would like some information. Mademoiselle, I am told that a certain Monsieur Zimmer used to frequent this café.
Zimmer? Ah, yes, Monsieur Zimmer. But that was long ago. I think that he is in America.
America? Oh, will I ever find him?
Oh.
What you looking for, mister? A dancing partner?
No. I don't want a dancing partner. I was told that Rudolf Zimmer used to play here the piano in your dance hall. Is that him playing there?
Nah, that ain't Zimmer. Zimmer's dead. He died about 6 months ago.
Dead? Ah, now I will never know.
And so, after searching in England, France, and America for the song and its composer, Offenbach returned to Vienna in despair. On the day of his arrival, he was met at the station by his old friend, Dr. Teil. Offenbach and Dr. Teil entered a cab and started for the hotel a few blocks away.
Herr Doctor, my whole trip was wasted. I did not find him. Zimmer is dead. He died in America.
Listen to me, Jacques. As your friend, take my advice and forget this whole business.
Oh, no, I cannot. Someday, somehow, I will find the rest of that song.
What is that?
Driver, what has happened?
An old man, monsieur. He collapsed in front of the carriage. We almost ran over him.
Come, Herr Doctor. Yeah. Perhaps we can do something for him.
Poor old fellow. Here, lend a hand.
Is he badly hurt?
No, I do not think so. He seems exhausted. A little food and wine will fix him.
Well, then come. We will take him to my hotel.
Ah, good morning, my friend. How do you feel this morning?
Much better, with a little rest and the food I needed. I don't know how to thank you.
Did my piano playing disturb you?
Oh, no, indeed, Mannheer. I once played myself. I would be delighted if you would continue.
Very good.
Mannheer. Mynheer, that song you are playing.
Huh? What is the matter, my friend?
That is my song.
Your song?
Yeah, I wrote it.
You wrote that song?
Yeah.
But I... Then you are Rudolf Zimmer?
Yeah.
But they told me you were dead.
Oh, no, Mynheer. I am Zimmer.
All my life I have searched for you, and now fate brings you to my very doorstep.
Why did you search for me?
Let me explain, my friend. My name is Offenbach, Jacques Offenbach.
Offenbach, the great composer. And you have looked for me?
Looked for you? I have looked for you all over Europe, even to America. Herr Zimmer, listen to me. I want to use your song in my new opera. I shall pay you well.
No, never. I cannot. That song is cursed.
Cursed? That beautiful melody,
it
cursed.
It marked my ruin from the day I wrote it. My wife died. I lost my position, my health, and next, failure piled upon failure until I became what you see me now, a useless old man. No, you have been too kind to me, my friend, to visit the curse of that song on you.
Yet I beg of you, let me buy it. I must have the rest of that song. Where is it now?
In my room at Favoritenstrasse 17.
Go there and bring it back to me at once. I will be waiting here.
Yeah?
Herr Zimmer, please. I have been waiting for him all day and all night.
Herr Zimmer is dead.
Zimmer? Dead? No, you must be mistaken.
It was very sudden, mein Herr. Yesterday, heart failure. The doctor said he suffered some sudden shock. Oh, come in, please. There is the coffin. The funeral is at 2:00.
Zimmer, dead. He left a message for me?
All he left was an envelope for the great composer Offenbach.
I am Offenbach.
You are. Mein Herr, here is the envelope. His dying words were that you should have his music.
He did not forget me. It is the song. Poor Zimmer. Let me have... I beg you, madame. Let me have this moment with him alone.
Ja, mein Herr.
Rudolf Zimmer, you are not dead. You will live forever in your song. All the world shall know and love it. As it brought sadness to you, so shall it bring happiness to millions. But you shall hear it first.
After Zimmer's death, Offenbach worked day and night to complete his opera. But just before the premiere of the opera, which was to bring him world fame, Offenbach suddenly died. His overwhelming desire to hear his opera performed was never realized. But only a few days after Offenbach's funeral, all Vienna turned out to honor the dead composer at the opening of his last opera, The Tales of Hoffmann. Our next scene opens at the Opera House. It's the intermission after the second act.
What a pity that Offenbach did not live for this night.
Yeah, it is almost as if there was a curse on the barcarolle.
Nonsense. Have you ever heard a sweeter melody than this barcarolle?
Say, Franz, sir. Huh? Do you smell smoke?
Oh, yes. Look over there. It's pouring out of the wing. There's a fire.
I smell fire.
Look at the flames. The flames are coming from that door.
We are trapped. Let us go this way. Run, run.
Ladies, gentlemen, do not run. You will crush yourself to death. Use the other doors. I beg you. I beg you, order. Open the doors, you fools. Open the doors.
On that fatal night of the premiere of The Tales of Hoffmann, the Ring Theater in Vienna burned to the ground in the most disastrous fire in that city's history. 900 men and women were burned to death while the barcarolle was being played. But the story of the barcarolle was not ended. The world acclaimed the melody and it was sung everywhere, just as Offenbach predicted. 10 years went by. And now the scene is China, thousands of miles away. That unhappy country was dominated by the famous old Dowager Empress, Su Tsai. She was the Empress of all China. She was brutal, merciless, and terrified her subjects. But she had one love, the magnificent summer palace which she was building outside of Peking. It was to be a palace of rare beauty, and for it she imported Italian marble, Italian workmen from faraway Italy, and all day long she would sit and watch the Italian artisans and stonemasons as they sang at their work.
What a brilliant thought this was, Your Highness. These Italian workmen will make your gardens the most entrancing in the world.
Silence, you dog. I would listen to that song. What a strange melody these Italian devils sing. For a week I've heard it now, and it clings to my brain like the puppy drug. Tell him to stop working and sing it again for me.
Yes, Your Highness.
I crave nothing more than to hear only this song over and over again. Minister!
Yes, gracious one.
Go to the palace. Summon the palace musicians. Tell them but tonight they must learn the song the Italians sing, or they die. When one band stops, the next shall take it up. Such strange music. Such strange music.
And so the barcarolle, brought to China by the Italian workmen, completely fascinated the evil old empress. All night long, she sat listening to the strange notes which danced through her head like demon spirits. The musicians were forced to play continuously, day and night, so that the empress could stay awake and sign death warrants. Thus, the Barcarolle continued its tragic saga of death.
You say execute them, Your Highness?
Yes. Chop their heads off.
But they are helpless farmers. How can they pay such high taxes? Surely you will pardon them, gracious Majesty.
Tell them they should be freed. Freed by death? Let their bloody heads drop in the executioner's basket. Get me warrants. More death. The music tells me what to do.
Seven died by the lash today. Will she never quench her thirst for blood?
Beat them till they die!
Louder! Play louder! I so heavy, but I must not sleep. This music alone can keep me awake. It gives me power. Minister! Minister, bring me the water! More death! Death to my enemies!
And the reign of terror which the Barcarolle brought to China ended only when the old empress died in 1908. And one of the first laws passed by the new government was the banishing forever of the Barcarolle from China. And to this very day, it's a criminal offense to play the Barcarolle inside the Great Wall of China. The old empress and the imperial glory of Peking have long since departed, but on my last visit to the Forbidden City, an old and withered Chinese servant assured me that when the full moon fills a summer palace with ghostly shadows, phantom singers from nowhere drift through the night, and all the while, in a little boat out on that misty lake, a savage old woman, dressed in the silks and brocades of a bygone age, listens for a moment and then resumes the signing of death warrants. And this is the true story of the Barcarolle, believe it or not.
D.A. Rolfe and his orchestra give us a Dutch treat with the top tune of the season. It's Tuli Tuli Tulip Time. Okay, B.A. Me here in the studio is an inventor. And believe it or not, tomorrow morning a great many of you listening in right now will take advantage of this gentleman's invention. His name is J.K. Lippin. He's just arrived in New York City from Battle Creek, Michigan. Mr. Lippin, just what was it you invented?
Mr. Bond, I invented post-bran flakes. That is, I perfected the patented process by which post-bran flakes are made.
And post-bran flakes were the first bran flake cereal offered to the public?
Yes, post-bran flakes are the very first, the real original bran flake cereal.
And Mr. Lippin, will you tell us exactly why you invented post-bran flakes?
Mr. Bond, in my case, I know how important the benefits of bran are. How they help to keep you feeling fit in the pink of condition. But up to that time, I had never tasted bran cereal that had a delicious flavor that I knew folks would want in the cereal food. So we got busy, and the result was a new cereal that not only gives you all the benefits of bran, but also the mighty good. We called it post-bran flakes.
And Mr. Lippin, did I hear you say that this method used in making post-bran flakes is patented?
That's right. No other cereal in the world can be made like post-bran flakes.
Well, one more question, Mr. Lippin. We have a slogan that I know you've heard on this program. It runs, "Life is swell when you keep well." Now, would you subscribe to that?
I certainly would, Mr. Bond, 100%, because I know how true it is in my case. You see, I eat post-bran flakes myself, every day, believe it or not.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Lippin. We're mighty glad to have you here with us. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, Bob.
Yes, Linda?
You've been putting me off long enough now.
No.
How about giving me the answer to last week's problem, believe it or not?
What?
You asked me, what modern army of 500,000 men has no generals?
Yes, well, that army, Linda, is a Swiss army. And Switzerland has a very excellent army, too. But the highest rank in that army is a colonel. Furthermore, they have never lost a war in 700 years. Switzerland is the oldest republic in the world today.
The Swiss colonel seemed to be doing all right.
You know, Linda, in this country, we're sometimes inclined to joke about colonels, but colonels are very important. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest and most colorful figures of the world war was only a colonel.
Who is that, Bob?
Let me draw you a believe-it-or-not sketch about him. The time, August 1914. The place, the recruiting station in London. A young Englishman who has volunteered for service is standing at the desk of the recruiting officer.
Well, laddie, I'm sorry to tell you that your medical report is not good. You're underweight. Undersized, nearsighted. My man, you wouldn't last a day in active service.
But, sir, I want duty in France, in the front line.
No France for you. But as you say, you know Oriental languages. I recommend you for service with the intelligence department in Egypt. They need brains there, not brawn.
General, I don't think that we're making any headway against the Turks.
And what would you propose, Colonel Lawrence?
For 700 years, the Arabs have been oppressed by the Turks. In all that time, the Arabs have been seething with revolt, but they've never been organized. All they need is a leader.
And where are we going to find that leader?
I am that leader, General.
You? But we have you listed as physically unfit for active service.
But I know what I can do, General. I'll go out among the Arabs alone. I'll lead them in their revolt against the Turks.
And that frail weakling went into the desert, organized and trained the scattered tribes of the Arabs. He learned to ride harder, shoot straighter, and endure hardships better than the most hardened son of the desert. He won victory after victory until almost single-handedly he brought the Turks to their knees. That man was Lawrence of Arabia, the most colorful and mysterious figure in the world war. But most amazing is the fact that only one white man was ever able to know Colonel Lawrence, and that man was his companion in that fantastic military adventure in the desert. He rode with him, lived with him, and spoke with him, and finally wrote his biography. That man's voice is now known to 12 million Americans, and he's standing here beside me now to tell you more about the fabulous Lawrence of Arabia. Ladies and gentlemen, I present my very good friend, Lowell Thomas.
Good evening, everybody. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Lowell, and as the first man who discovered Colonel Lawrence and wrote his story, you can best tell us what kind of a man was he.
Well, he was slight of stature, sandy-haired, extremely nearsighted. If you saw him, he would be the last man in the world that you would ever pick for a hero.
Well, he was a very great and mysterious figure, Lowell.
Yes, Bob. This shy, scholarly man was a great soldier and a great tactician. The Turks feared him so much, they put a prize of $100,000 on his head, dead or alive. With his flying columns of Arabs, he harassed them day and night. Among other things, he personally destroyed all important Turkish lines of transportation and communication. He, more than any other living man, defeated the Turks and was acclaimed by the Arab nation as their liberator.
You know, Lowell, that story you told me about the prophecy in Colonel Lawrence's life was a real, believe it or not. Won't you tell our listeners about it?
It was 1917. A Mohammedan priest told Lawrence that he would die by the Son of Thunder. 18 years passed. Lawrence resigned all his commissions and his honors, and then he enlisted again in the British Army, just as a lowly private in the Air Corps. But he had a mania for speed, and he bought himself another speedy motorcycle. And ironically enough, he named it the Son of Thunder.
Son of Thunder.
And it was on this motorcycle, called the Son of Thunder, that Lawrence of Arabia met his death, May 17, 1935. And thus the prophecy was fulfilled, believe it or not.
Thank you. Thank you, Lowell Thomas. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a believe it or not about Lowell Thomas himself that I would like to tell you. You know, 8 years ago this week, he started as a daily radio news commentator. And in all that time, for 8 consecutive years, he has never missed a single broadcast. Is that right, Lowell?
Yes, that's right. Well,
never, except last Wednesday, when the hurricane marooned him aboard a train and caused him to miss his daily broadcast for the first time in 8 years. Believe it or not.
Just a few days from now, we'll usher in the month of October. Yes, the fall season is here in earnest. And with its return, we're all apt to be mighty busy. The children are back at their schoolwork, fall house cleanings to be done, and business everywhere is picking up. So this is certainly one time of year when we all want to be feeling fit in perfect trim, when we all can agree that life is swell when you keep well. And folks, you all know the benefits of Bran, how they may be just what so many of you need to help you keep fit naturally. Post Bran Flakes give you these extra benefits in a cereal that packs a truly delicious flavor. So tomorrow, ask your grocer for Post Bran Flakes. Join the millions of folks everywhere who enjoy Post Bran Flakes every day for their delicious flavor, for their extra benefits. See if you don't agree that life is swell when you keep well.
Today, the Jews of the world celebrate Rosh Hashanah, their New Year's Day. According to Jewish legend, the world was created 5,699 years ago today. And the oldest prayer of the Jewish religion, which they believe Adam himself said, which is always repeated on this day, I would like to read to you now. May it be the supreme will to fulfill the wishes of your heart and the hearts of all living for good, for life, and for peace. Amen.
It is foregone saying goodnight for Post Bran Flakes. This is the National Broadcasting Company.